Nyanavahini Chapter 7. A white cloth that has become dirty is dipped in water, soaked in soap, warmed and beaten on a slab, in order that it may be restored to its color and condition. So too, to remove the dirt of Ajnana that has attached itself to the pure Sat Chit Ananda Atma, the water of unblemished conduct and behavior, the soap of reflection on Brahman, the warming of Japam and Dhyanam, and the slab of renunciation are all necessary. Then only can the fundamental Brahmanhood of the Atma shine forth. It does not help if the soap is good when the water is soiled. All that soap and all that bother of heating and beating are sheer waste, for the cloth continues as dirty as ever. This explains why many aspirants fail. Though they have meditated on Brahman for many years and studied about it for long, their modes of behavior and conduct are all wrong. The fault lies in the water, not in the soap. The daily habits, acts, and activities are mean and low. The dhyanam on Brahman, the meditation on God, is all a waste. People in their ignorance hesitate to accept the rigors of spiritual discipline, considering them as so many fetters to free living. They decry the divine command. They denounce the grace divine. That command is not understood and appreciated. It is disobeyed and even fought against. But the wise man who plants wheat will be blessed by a harvest of wheat. The fool plants tares and weeps because wheat does not grow. For everyone in the world, whether we believe it or not, 2 plus 2 make 4. The result does not depend on your likes and dislikes. The fact that in every being there is the Supreme is a similar, inescapable reality. God will not give up if denied, or enter if invited. It is there. It is the being's very being, with a capital B. This is the truth. And if you want to know it and experience it, develop the vision of the Jnani. Without that, you can never see it. As the telescope alone enables you to see things that are far away, so the Jnanascope, or Jnana Drishti, that is, vision through the eye of wisdom, is essential to see Brahman immanent in every being. As the child refuses to believe in things beyond its circle of vision, the weakling, afraid of the travail of winning that drishti, that sight, that attitude, refuses to believe in the all-pervasive, all-inclusive Brahman. A set of persons with curious ideas have cropped up recently, and they strut about with great pride, for they have no yearning for God, even no use of God. They are sevaks, servants or helpers in social service, and they are satisfied with service. But the essence of seva or service is selflessness, an abnegation of the fruit thereof. The sevaks have no right to look down upon the godly and the spiritual aspirants as inferior, for that is but reaching for the fruit while neglecting the tree. Selfless service is the final fruit of the Godward discipline. That is the attitude of nishkama karma, renunciation of the fruits of action. How can the fruit be gained without the long and laborious nurture of the tree? The very foundation of nishkama karma is prema, love towards all beings. Prema that seeks no reward. Without spiritual experience of this higher love, selfless service is impossible. At present the world is full of persons who clamor for good profit for themselves, but are unwilling to give good value for the things they receive. They want God, but are engaged in the cultivation of some other crop. They do not seek it and strive for it day and night. They have, on the other hand, installed the God of wealth in their hearts, and spend all their time and energy worshipping it and praying for its favor. How pure is the heart full of bhakti to God, and prema towards all things. Selfless service is possible only by such. The rest only prattle about it and pretend to be impelled by it. Only those who are well established in the faith that all are children of God, that He is the inner motive force of every being, can include themselves in that class of social servants or sevaks. For those who say they have no use for God or for bhakti, egoism is the core of personality, exhibition its outer rind. However much is written and read, that egoism will not wither away. Ego consciousness leads to self-aggrandizement, and when self holds sway over the heart, no deed worthy to be styled service can emanate from him. It is sheer selfish greed that makes him label his deed as service. Ignorance will never vanish until this discrimination dawns. That this world is but God and nothing else. Everything, every being is but his manifestation, bearing withal a new name and a new form. Love this truth, believe in it, and then you have the right to speak of seva and bhakti and dharma, and the authority to preach those paths. Knowledge of the reality will show you that bhakti, seva and dharma are all one and indivisible. Without that knowledge, selfless service, etc., become mere exercises in hypocrisy. Every act done with the consciousness of the body is bound to be egoistic. Selfless seva can never be accomplished while immersed in the body consciousness. But consciousness of deva instead of deha, of God instead of the body, will bring forth the splendor of prema. With that as inspiration and guide, man can achieve much good without even knowing or proclaiming that he is selfless in outlook. For him it is all God's will, his leela, his divine sport, his work. Light is wisdom. Without light all is darkness. If you have not secured the lamp of jnana to illumine your path, you stumble along in the gloom with fear as your companion. There is no falsehood greater than fear, no ignorance mightier than that. Decide, therefore, to travel in the daylight of jnana and be worthy of this human birth. Through your success you can make even the lives of others worthwhile. Vairagya, or non-attachment, also depends upon jnana as well as bhakti. Deprive vairagya of that basis, and you will find it crumbling fast. Why? This is the prime cause for the want of spiritual progress at present. All these three have to be emphasized in sadhana. They are not to be separated and striven for individually. Bhakti includes jnana. Vairagya isolated from bhakti and jnana, or jnana isolated from bhakti and vairagya, or bhakti isolated from vairagya and jnana, each is ineffective. The best that each isolated path is capable of is to give some training in purity. Never therefore develop conceit and declare that you are bhaktas or jnanis or vairagis or recluses. Sadhakas must dip in the Triveni, the triple confluence of bhakti, jnana, vairagya. There is no other way to salvation. Before everything, be pure and holy. Of aspirants and sadhakas there are plenty. But of those who are pure in heart, the number is few. For example, observe this one fact. There are many who religiously read the Gita over and over again. There are many who expatiate on its meaning for hours and hours, but persons who practice the essence of the Gita are rare. They are now like gramophone records, reproducing someone else's song, incapable of singing themselves, ignorant of the joy of song. They are not sadhakas at all. Their sadhana does not deserve the name. Life must be seen as but the manifestation of the three gunas, as a play of temperaments pulling the strings of the doors. This awareness must saturate every thought, word and deed. That is the jnana you need. All else is ajnana. The jnani will have no trace of hatred in him. He will love all beings. He will not be contaminated by the ego. He will act as he speaks. The ajnani will identify himself with the gross body, senses and mind, things which are but tools and instruments. The eternal pure Atma is behind the mind, and so this mistake of the ajnani plunges him into trouble, loss and misery. All the names and forms that fill up this universe and constitute its nature are but creations of mind. Therefore the mind has to be controlled and its wayward fancies calmed in order to perceive the truth. The ever-moving waves of the lake have to be stilled so that you can see the bottom clearly. So too, the waves of ignorance that ruffle the mind have to be still. Keep the mind away from low desires that run after fleeting pleasures. Turn your thoughts away from these and direct them towards the permanent bliss derivable from the knowledge of the immanent divinity. Keep before the mind's eye the faults and failures of sensory pleasures and worldly happiness. Thus you are helped to grow in discrimination, in non-attachment and spiritual progress. As gold melted in the crucible gets rid of dross and shines in its pristine glory, so man too has to be melted in the crucible of yoga by the fire of vairagya or non-attachment. Being possessed of this jnana is the sign of samadhi, as explained by some. For those capable of self-control along these lines, the native power will gradually assert itself, and the reality that is now misunderstood will be rid of that fog. patiently cultivate the habit of meditating on your Atmahood and see the particular as the universal. Through Samadhi, progress is guaranteed and liberation is won. The springs of egoism, etc., arise from ignorance of the basic truth. When the knowledge of the Atma arises, ignorance with its brood of worry and misery will vanish. The mark of the Jnani is the absence of egoism, the extinction of desire, the feeling of equal love for all without any distinction. These are the fundamentals of Atma Jnana.